World Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six Animal Kingdom animal viewing spots. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 75 of the World of Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation. For the week of June 5th, 2016, this is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, our podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning to anywhere that Disney goes, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member who really understands how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your trip at no extra cost to you while making sure you get the best deal possible on your vacation. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. Since its middle name is Animal, you might correctly expect that you will get to see some live animals around Disney's Animal Kingdom. Few spots might immediately come to mind, but there are actually quite a few places around the park where you can check out live creatures of all kinds. So today we're going to take a look at the top six Animal Kingdom animal viewing spots. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who, when he was a Disney cast member, got to see exotic animals every day he worked, Phil Gramlich. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Thanks a lot for having me back. And those exotic animals weren't only my college program roommates. They were actually animals in the park that I didn't get to see every day.
I hope they're not listening. So if you write in, write to Phil and not to Herb. So
they know. They listen. They know I do these podcasts. So I'm sure they are listening. I stay close friends with a lot of them. So I don't really think they're offended right now, to be honest with you.
So tell me about the type of animals that you got to see when you were working at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, so I started working there a month after it opened. It opened, I think, or a little over a month. I started working there in June of 98. So I worked in the Africa section, which back then the attractions were pretty much the same. A couple of them were called different things. But I used to, you know, you see the gorillas all the time. And I have a couple funny stories about it. African crown cranes, which are the huge birds that they have that are roaming certain parts of the park that can, as I found out later, can be a little aggressive.
Hmm.
I've gotten chased by a crown crane once or twice, to be honest with you.
Were you invading its territory?
I think I might have been. Yeah, but I have a little story for that. So, you know what? I'll tell it now really quickly. So they used to have them. I don't know if they still do, but there were little sections in the queue for Kilimanjaro Safaris that had the African crown cranes in them. And they were, I mean, they're really tall. They're, I don't know, 4 feet tall, you know, and I'm 5'7". So they're pretty intimidating birds to me.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm someone who's intimidated by a goose, but I remember one day I worked custodial for Disney at that time. And, if for those who don't know, it's the guy that I was the guy that either emptied trash cans or walked around with a pan and broom and cleaned up, you know, the trash from the ground. But that day I was emptying trash cans from the, Kilimanjaro Safari line, the queue. And I guess there was only mesh wiring that was between the trash can and the bird's habitat. And I wasn't paying attention. It was probably, you know, late afternoon, and I just wasn't looking. And I got the trash can, and the thing came out of nowhere and started running at me. I'll tell you what, Herb, I've never ran that fast in my entire life. I threw the trash bag on the ground and ran through the queue like a crazy person. So I don't know what I was thinking. I knew it was in a cage, but I, you know. So yeah, that's one of my many Animal Kingdom stories.
Oh, Phil versus Bird, and Bird wins that round, huh?
Every single time.
Wow, cool. So I think this is going to be a fun topic since this is your old stomping grounds. But before we get to that, I've got the warm-up question for today, which is, what is your favorite food item in the France Pavilion?
So I'm going to cheat a little bit with this answer because it's not always available where I got this item from. But during the Food and Wine Festival, they have escargot. And I was, you know, I'm a cheeseburger kind of guy. I was a little terrified to try escargot, and I had a friend of mine talk me into it. And I'll tell you what, it was delicious. I never thought I would like it that much. I would definitely get that again. I thought it was awesome.
Isn't that a great thing about the Food and Wine Festival, that you can try things out without committing to a $15 or $20 plate of it? So $5, $6, you can try something and see if you like it.
Yeah, don't you wish they had that in restaurants normally at Disney, where you would say, you know, I'm thinking about the duck, but I don't know if I want to spend $20 on it. And it would just give you like a little shot glass full of duck, and you could try it and tell them if you liked it or not. I wish you could do that.
That's a great idea. So Disney lawyers, if you're listening to that, that's copyright 2016 World of Walt LLC. You can send in the licensing fees here. I love to say that. I'm going to see if I can do that on each podcast, maybe going forward, is try to claim some sort of idea.
One of these times it'll work.
Yeah, maybe. So favorite food item from France. So I won't pick out one flavor, but one of my new favorite spots is L'Artisan de Glace. And actually, I can butcher many different languages, French included. But the ice cream shop in the France Pavilion, I love the way they make their ice cream. It's very dense. It's very flavorful. They have some unique choices there. So that would be one of my favorites. But if I had to pick a backup, it would probably be anything that has Grand Marnier. I think I first got my experience to Grand Marnier in the France Pavilion, and that's some good stuff.
Yeah, I love the Grand Marnier slush that they have in that little stand there. If it's like 1,000 degrees like it is during the summer in Epcot, and you need something to cool off and also maybe catch a tiny bit of a buzz, that's a nice drink to pick up.
Yep, they have some good choices there.
They do, you're right. And I, again, I'm not a wine guy, but they do have some really nice like vintage wines in that stand. You would never expect that from a little tiny kiosk at Epcot, but they do.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, doing your, I don't suggest going around the world, but if you are going to do it and you want a couple of nice glasses of wine, it's a nice place to go.
Yeah. I think there may be a whole podcast there of food favorites at the French Pavilion, because we haven't even talked about pastries. And so there are a lot of great things to pick from.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the ham and cheese croissant from the bakery that I cannot pronounce that name, and I've never taken a French class in my life, so I won't even try.
Yeah, the quiche is good there. I mean, we can just go on and on.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep, lots of good choices. All right, but we'll get back to Animal Kingdom and the top 6 Animal Kingdom animal viewing spots. And Phil, we are over to you for number 1.
Okay, so again, this is a fun one for me because this is where I first started my Disney quote-unquote career and when I worked Disney. And I loved working at Disney's Animal Kingdom for a lot of reasons, but the animals were a big part of it. Getting to see, you know, exotic animals every day is just a cool thing. But back then it wasn't called Discovery Island when I worked there. It was Safari Village. But now it's Discovery Island, and my first pick is Discovery Island Trails. So I don't think people even realize these are there. They're little like walking paths that go all throughout like the area around the Tree of Life. And, you know, most people are going as fast as they can to get through Discovery Island and go to, you know, Asia or Dinoland or Africa to hit the headliners. But and I won't say I don't do that on some mornings, but it's nice to get in there, to walk through the trails. I mean, they have a whole bunch of different kind of animals that you can see. The crown cranes are there, so be careful if you get close to them.
I hear they're nasty.
They are. They also have the Galapagos tortoises. There's I forget the species. They have an otter there. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of animals. And it's a great place, too, to see the Tree of Life up close. Like when you go to it's tough to be a bug, you get to see certain parts of it, but when you go through the Discovery Island trails, you really have a lot of time to take pictures and check out all the carvings and all the Tree of Life. So it's really cool, and with that animal backdrop, it's a really, really, really neat thing. And also there's a cool story about the Tree of Life that actually goes to the Discovery Island trails as well. Jane Goodall, who's the chimpanzee researcher, and you know, activist and everything. She walked through the Discovery Island trails when she was getting a tour of the park, and she noticed that there was no chimp on the Tree of Life. And she had a really big problem with that since, you know, that was her whole life's work. Hmm. So after she complained to Disney Imagineers that there was no chimp on the Tree of Life, they actually carved, I guess it's not carving because, well, anyway, there now is the likeness of a chimp on the Tree of Life because she was there before and there wasn't one. And it's one of her favorite chimps that she had. It was the first chimp that she ever made that like took a liking to her and she made friends with in the wild. It was the name is David Graybeard. So if you see a chimp on the Tree of Life when you're walking through the Discovery Island trails, that's because of Jane Goodall.
Wow, that's a great story. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, it's a little better than my getting attacked by a African crown crane story.
It has a happy ending, at least.
It does. It does.
I think the Discovery Island trails are kind of representative of what Disney had in mind for the way to approach the Animal Kingdom. So Animal Kingdom is not like a main street where everything is paved flat and there's a clear way to go from spot A to spot B. I think Disney intended for us to wander and get lost a little bit and to stumble upon things. And I think Discovery Island is a great example of that. And just like you said, a lot of people miss it. They're making a beeline to one of the big attractions and they miss out on all these chances to go down a little trail and watch some animals up kind of up close and personal. And that's too bad because there are some great spots in the Discovery Island trails to really see some unique creatures.
Yeah, and if you like taking pictures, too, it's a really great place to do it. And I like, you know, Expedition Everest as much as the next guy. But if you can sit for a minute and, you know, set your camera up and take a couple cool pictures of some animals that you don't see at your local zoo, it's really worth it to go through there.
Yeah, this is a good choice, Phil. Number one, Discovery Island Trails. All right, number two, over to me. And I'm going to go to a place which I think is also often overlooked in Disney's Animal Kingdom, and this is the Rafiki's Planet Watch section. I think there are a lot of great things about Rafiki's Planet Watch. First off, it's just fun to say Rafiki, but it's also fun that you get to take the train back to Rafiki's Planet Watch, and the train is a relaxing trip. It's a great attraction unto itself. But once you get back to Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's an area called the Affection Section, and the Affection Section is a petting zoo, but it's a petting zoo done in Disney quality. So if you've ever been to a petting zoo, normally the first thing that happens when you walk in the gate is that you get attacked because all of the animals assume that you are going to be feeding them and they associate you with food and they come up and attack you and they're all over you. And that's maybe not so much fun. So Disney made, I think, a very wise choice in the Affection Section where you do not feed the animals, but you can go in and you can see them up close. You can pet them. There are plenty of goats, which interesting animal, sort of cute and evil looking at the same time. but it's nice that kids can be very close to the animals and see them and touch them, which is something you often can't do when it comes to animals. So the Affection Section, I think, is a hidden gem back in Rafiki's Planet Watch, which is often overlooked.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree. And we just had my kids last week at a zoo here. It was really nice weather for the time of year. And we took him to a zoo that has a little petting zoo inside of it. And you couldn't be more right. I was so freaked out. They give my kids, the lady that works there, gives my kids, who again are 3 and 5 years old, 2 3-year-olds and a 5-year-old. They give them these like little ice cream cones full of this fibery animal, you know, feed. And they're like, yeah, go ahead. And then my kids are walking through and these animals are attacking them. And I'm thinking, my God, like, this is scary. And my daughter dropped it on the ground, my 3-year-old, and she went to pick it up and I picked her up off the ground. I'm like, no way. Like, I don't know. So listen, Herb, I'm a city guy and I didn't grow up with anywhere near goats or pigs or sheep or anything like that. So I kind of let my kids go do their thing. They can go pet them. And I try to pretend I'm not completely freaked out by the entire experience. but no, you're right. It's a cool thing. And it's such a different experience than you think you would get in a Disney theme park. You hear Animal Kingdom and you think, I don't know, Lion Country Safari or something like that, but it's not like that. And this is a cool little part of it. And I think also it's the only attraction in all of Walt Disney World that has a sink and soap before you leave it. So you can wash your hands so you don't, just in case, you know, the animals are well taken care of, of course, but you never know. So we make sure we wash our hands on the way out.
Yeah, you're right. I never really thought about that. It's the only spot where there is a sink at the exit to an attraction. But it's good because the animals can be a little slobbery in my experience. So it's something you want to take advantage of when you're leaving.
That's true. Yeah, slobbery's, you know, kind of bad when you're thinking about animals. Unless it's a dog. I'm fine if a dog slobbers on me, but anything else, I'm out.
Yeah. Goat slobber, I don't know about that. I think something neat about the design of this, too, is there are spots where the people can't go. So if the goat or the sheep or whatever is tired of the folks, that they can go under a little wire and kind of be on their own and decompress from all their people time. And I think that's kind of a neat touch for the animals.
Yeah, I agree. They can duck out, take their 5 minutes.
Yep.
Go backstage, if you will.
That's right. It's for their union mandated break.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, other cast members don't get that option a lot of times.
Yep. All right. Number two, the affection section. Number three, Phil, back over to you.
Okay. So, this wasn't an original, part of the park. And unfortunately, when I worked at Animal Kingdom, this wasn't there. But my second choice is over to Asia, and it's the Maharaja Jungle Trek. To me, really, this is one of the best themed locations anywhere in the park, anywhere besides Expedition Everest, which I think is the most, you know, the best themed part of the entire park. So the story is that you're in the old hunting grounds of a king who used to like invite his rich friends and countrymen over to hunt tigers with him. And that's a very abbreviated synopsis, but that's kind of what you're looking at. And unfortunately for this king, he was killed. He was mauled and killed by one of the tigers. And you can see that in a mural on the way out of the attraction, which I think is like the ultimate revenge of the zoo animal, is that this guy, this poor guy who was, you know, it was like shooting fish in a barrel for him and his buddies, but now the tigers kind of run the place. Realistically, it is. It's one of the neatest places to see the animals. There's so many spots for you to get up close with the tigers, with the giant bats that they have in there, with the flying fox. Or is it flying foxes? I think it's foxes, right? Or is it fox? I'm not sure.
We'll say foxes.
Okay, so the flying foxes. And there's a lot of other animals too that are in there that are indigenous to Asia. But I love just how close you can get. I think they did a great job designing this attraction for the animals, especially the tigers. I mean, you can get within inches of a tiger with the, they have like this, the double proof, double thick glass that you can put your hand on, and the tiger literally is an inch or two away from your hand. It's amazing. And it's a really unique experience for that park because there's so many places in the park where you see the animals at a distance. And this one, it feels like you're right in there with them. So it's just a really cool place to walk through and spend some time, I think.
It is a great spot. And you mentioned about the tigers. That is one of my favorite things to do because you can be so close. Sometimes they're lying up against the glass. And you're right. You are literally just inches away. You're protected by that mighty thick glass. I hope it's very strong. But just being able to see them so close up, I think, is just a wonderful experience. And this is another one of those things that's kind of tucked away a little bit. I think a lot of people miss it. They just don't come across it, so they miss out.
Yeah, I think because of the theming too, that's the thing about this park is you're right. You have to kind of walk through a meander and try to find these nooks and crannies because it's not like, you know, Magic Kingdom where there's a big sign for Space Mountain. I mean, the Maharaja Jungle Trek has signs that look like they blend into the area and there's not a big neon blinking sign like tigers here.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of find it. And, Yeah, the thing about the Tigers being so close is so true. And I've had my kids, and they're in their strollers, and they're right against the glass. And the Tiger is pacing back and forth, mm-hmm. looking them in the eye. And you're like, I guess this is okay, right? I mean, it's Disney, so. But you get a little freaked out because they're like, they're thinking lunchtime. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's scary, but it's at the same time, it's really just amazing to see what they're up to in their quote unquote natural habitat. I know they're not out in the jungle somewhere, but it's not like they're in a little cage either. They have plenty of room to roam and run around, and it's a really cool area to see them kind of, moving around in.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes wonder, what are those tigers thinking? Are they thinking lunch? Are they thinking, half hour till my shift is over? I wonder what's going through their mind.
Yeah, they punch the clock just like every Cats member, man.
That's right. Yep, you got to do your time. All right, number three, Maharaja Jungle Trek. Number four, I am actually going to go back to Rafiki's Planet Watch, and I am going to go into the huge building that is the conservation station. So I think this one's interesting in lots of different ways. A lot of people, I believe, just run through, but there's a lot to see and do here, a lot of exhibits to check in. And there are always two things that stand out to me. So one is that in the windows, there are almost always displays of amazingly huge and icky bugs, which are kind of fun to see. But the other is that there is a surgical area in the conservation station where if you time it right, you can actually see the veterinarians performing surgical procedures on some of the animals. I remember one day way back in my younger time, I was there with a buddy, and one of the cast members said, "Oh, you just missed it. They completed a surgery on one of these animals." I said, "Oh, really? What did they do?" And he said, "Well, it's one of those surgeries where the boy animal sings a higher octave after it's done."
Oh, my God.
And it's like, well, I'm glad that I missed that surgery. I don't think I would want to witness that one. But
you think they would pull the curtain over for that one?
Yeah. So some of it just depends on the timing of it. But another thing that I like about the conservation station is there are often cast members there who can answer your questions. Sometimes they have a bird of prey or something like that that's perched on a cast member's glove. So it's a different experience each time and a lot of unique stuff going on in that location.
Yeah. So what's funny about this place is that's where I was originally posted for my job during the college program, was custodial for a conservation station. And then my first day when I got out there, they kind of realized I think it was like four of us, and they didn't need four custodial hosts in that little area. Mm. So I got reposted over to the Africa section of the park, which, as you know, Herb, in the summer, which was my college program, is probably the hottest place on the entire planet, with the vegetation and the sun. And oh my God, yeah. I remember sweat dripping off my fingertips on a daily basis, but that's besides the point. Anyway, I love conservation station. I love the veterinary area that you were talking about. I didn't see this. I had a buddy of mine that worked at Animal Kingdom for quite a while, and he saw they were doing a dental procedure on a lion, on the male lion. And so they invited him. They said, "Listen, would you like to be a part of this?" And he, is a regular Disney manager and really wanted no part of it whatsoever. And they said, "Well, the lion's sedated, it's asleep, it's fine." So he has some great pictures that were taken from a guest point of view outside the glass of him with his hand on the head of a lion while it was sleeping. And his wife took the pictures, and they're some of the most incredible pictures I've ever seen. Here's my friend, who's, not to be mean, slightly afraid of his own shadow sometimes, with his hand on the head of a lion. It's amazing. But that's the kind of thing you can see in that, at conservation station. It's really, really cool. And there's something else there that's been there, I'm pretty sure, since the park opened. I'm not quite sure about this, but it's it's the 3D show, the Song of the Rainforest, I think 3D audio show, that you go into a little booth. And it's the Mother Willow from Pocahontas. Have you done this?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, so you go into this booth. It's a It's almost like a sensory deprivation. That's what it seems like. It's pitch black. You can't see an inch in front of your face. And you put these headphones on, and they do this 3D audio, which I'm sure is an outdated technology, but to me, it's incredible. It's this 3D audio show, but it's only in your ears. You don't see a thing. And you hear these sounds. There's like, from what I remember, it's like they do all the rainforest sounds, and then they do like deforestation where you hear like chainsaws and machines cutting trees down and stuff. And you would swear, if you, you know, that it's, you're right in the middle of it all. It's an amazing, amazing experience. So that's something to really check out the next time you go there.
Wow. That's a great tip. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. It's weird that it's, I think it's like this little section of that part of the park that no one ever sees and no one ever does, but it's still there and it's still operating. And it's something that you would do. It was such a throwaway, and it's something you would do. And then you're going to walk out of there being like, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe, like, you really feel like you're placed in a different time and space. It's amazing.
Wow. That's neat. And you mentioned how hot Africa gets. I think Disney designed that section of the park to really represent the real Africa in heat as well, because it does get hot out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that it's just, it's the hottest, and I've never been to actual Africa, so I can't say for certain, but those days working there over the summer, and I don't want to dissuade people from going there because, again, I love the park. But it is with the I don't know if it's the vegetation that, you know, restricts airflow or what it is. But I feel so bad for, like, you know, the cast members there now, or the very cool cast member Divine, who is in that area, because she has to be one of the hottest, you know, individuals on the planet, because that's being in that makeup and that costume up in the trees that's got to be outrageously hot.
Yeah, covered in leaves and dark makeup. That's got to be warm.
But again, that's a really cool, another really cool experience at Animal Kingdom too. It's not an animal viewing spot, but she's amazing what she can do.
Yeah, that would be a great topic for another podcast.
Yes.
Some of those unexpected live performances around Animal Kingdom.
See, Herb, this is why you have me on, because I come up with all kinds of new topics for you.
Phil, you are an idea machine. I love that. All right, that was Conservation Station number 4, so we're back over to you for number 5.
All right, so number 5 for me is the one that's the most near and dear to my heart, and it's the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail. I think I said it right. Again, back when I worked there, I'm sure everyone who's listening is being like, dude, stop talking about when you worked there. It's not that anymore. But when I worked it, back in my day, it was called Gorilla Falls. And this, of course, is the area that you can walk through and see the silverback gorillas. There's the okapi, the meerkat, the hippo viewing area, the aviary, the naked mole rats. I mean, there are so many cool animal viewing spots along this trail that it's amazing. It's really, I think, the best experience besides a safari in all of Disney's Animal Kingdom, because you get to see so much, because you can do it at your own pace. You can kind of slowly walk through, take as many pictures as you want. It's such a cool, different kind of experience. And to be up close to some of those animals is the neatest thing. I mean, I go through my tripod, and I'm such an amateur photographer, but I set up my camera and try to get like close-ups of the gorillas and the okapi and everything. It's a really cool place to go. So yeah, that's why that's definitely, I think, one of my favorite places in any of the Disney parks is Pangani Forest.
Yeah, it's a great spot. And I think the choice of animals that are along this trail are really good. So anytime you can see some gorillas, I think that's just fascinating. I think they're really amazing animals. And the hippos, too. I don't know what it is about hippos. It seems like hippos kind of have a life of leisure. But it's just amazing to see them. They are so big and powerful.
They really are. And that area, which is really weird, because when you walk through, for some reason, that water that you can walk, can literally walk right up to. It's, again, just like the tigers at the jungle trek. You're right against the glass there.
Yeah.
And the water is always kind of murky and dark. So you almost don't see the hippo coming. And all of a sudden, it's great being there when people don't really expect it. And a hippo will just swim by and you hear the, like everybody's,
yeah,
gets completely freaked out that there's this, you know, enormous animal that goes by you. It's really, really cool. I do have one quick story about working there, and before I bore everyone to tears, but it's another one of my being scared by animal stories. When I worked at this attraction in custodial at night, the park would close, and then I would have to walk through with my big trash cart and get all the trash bags from the trash cans throughout the attraction. And there's a lot of them. I think there's probably like 8 or 10 cans that I have to empty. But literally, it would be me that was it left in that attraction. So if I had some, you know, I would try to take my time and walk through, and I would, you know, sit at the glass viewing area and watch the gorillas for a couple minutes, and then watch the mirror. I would run to get the trash bags and then just watch the animals, because it was amazing to have like that quiet time to just watch what they were up to. It's really neat. So there's a little, I'll never forget this. There's a trash can. Again, I was custodial, towards the end of the attraction, towards the end of the walkthrough. And there's a trash can, and then there's a fence, and there's probably 6 feet of space. And then there's, or 8 feet. And then there's, it looks like these bamboo poles. And then right beyond that is a gorilla viewing area. There, the gorillas can come right up to the poles. Well, of course, it's not really bamboo. It's metal underneath these fake faux bamboo covers. But another time, same exact thing. I was not paying attention. I'm getting the trash can out. I thought I had seen the gorillas for the day. I thought there was no more around. And wouldn't you know it, this gorilla runs up and hits the darn bamboo poles with his hands as hard as he can, because I was there. I guess I was in his space and he didn't expect me. And again, oh my God, I was so scared. I think I called my manager and asked him to come back and get the trash bin for me. I said, I can feel my heart beating through my chest. This gorilla, for a minute, I thought he was out and in the, like he was out of the animal area. It freaked me out so bad. And it's so weird because I knew I was safe. Like, you know that he's not getting through that metal bar. And it's probably this tiny, you know, juvenile gorilla. I barely saw him out of the corner of my eye, but man, like, and now it's so funny when I walk through there with my kids and my wife, I always point to it. I'm like, that's, he almost got me that time right there.
Like, all right, Phil, our next podcast is top 6 times Phil got frightened by animals at Animal Kingdom.
And there's I have a couple more stories like that. That's the funniest part. Like, Animal Kingdom at night, I'm so excited for the nighttime stuff in Animal Kingdom, because I think it's going to add just a completely different layer to it. It's going to be like so much fun for people to get to experience that kind of stuff at night. To get terrified by gorillas when it's getting dark is great.
Because we know how fun that is. So
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the extended time at Animal Kingdom too. So there haven't been a lot of chances for me to see it in the evening, right. But I have once or twice after it's been dark, and it's a beautiful park and one that really looks different day versus night. So I think it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, they did a good job. You wouldn't even know it, right? Like, they did such a good job with the lighting there.
Yeah.
And you don't really get to ever see it. So yeah. I'm excited that people actually get to experience that.
Yeah, me too. All right, that was a good one. Number 5, the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail. So last item, number 6, back over to me. And yes, folks, we are not going to skip the headliner attraction that is all about the live animals. And of course, that is the Kilimanjaro Safaris. So if you are going to Disney's Animal Kingdom, I think this is the must-do. It is the headliner. It's where you get to see all of the animals that you want to see. There are giraffes and lions and rhinos and elephants. You get to board this very rickety safari vehicle, which is fun in its own right, I think. The attraction's a little bit different each time, although I think the spiel is pretty standard, but you just don't know what animals you're going to see. I've been on that safari where I felt like a giraffe was 2 feet away. I mean, huge animal, so close to you. You always get to look down and see the rhinos and the crocodiles. I love going by the section with the elephants. The lions are usually just kind of laying around, so you don't always get to see something exciting there. But it's different every time. You get to see some animals that can roam around. And really, this, I think, is what Animal Kingdom stands for, is the Kilimanjaro Safaris and the chance to see so many of these animals in their own environments.
Yeah, I mean, just the size of this attraction by itself is the most amazing thing to me. It's enormous, and you don't realize it really when you're driving through. Just, it's huge, and there's so many different sections with so many different animals. You look at that, you know, the board that has all the different species that you might see on your safari, and I forget, I once knew the number of animals, and it's changed over the years, but it's dozens of different species of animals. It's amazing, really. And if you're, you know, an amateur photographer like me, get your camera ready, man. I mean, you're going to see so many cool animals. The croc, you know, the crocodile thing is always great. The like you said, the lions are kind of lame because they don't get up much during the day.
Yeah.
But you will get a good picture once in a while if they're facing toward the safari vehicle. You get a really good picture of them. And, you know, the giraffes and the rhinos that can be inches away from you, which is, it's amazing. Like, where else are you going to get to see something like that? You're at a zoo and they're, you know, you have these huge bars and they're, you know, 30, 40 feet from you. And here you could be sitting in a safari car and it's inches from you.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And, again, with the birds, the ostriches, that completely freaked me out, but it's cool to see them walking alongside the car. And, like you said, the elephants too. I love that Animal Kingdom has been successful with breeding a lot of the animals, and it's so cool to see like the baby elephants when you're riding through, all chasing after their, you know, their mom on the safari. It's awesome. It's such a cool thing. But I do miss, I don't know if you do, but I do miss the Little Red and Big Red and the Warden with the. Do you remember the line that the Thompson Gazelle, and we don't call them Thompson Gazelle in Africa, we call them Tommies. Remember that?
Yeah.
I missed that whole thing, but I understand why it had to change, and they had to, you know, they do a good job still with the conservation message, but I guess it was a little too violent, the storyline they had for years. So I understand why it had to change, but I do miss that a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think the story made sense, and it made a point that Disney was trying to get across, but I mean, in the end, the little elephant dies, and who wants that on their vacation? So, yeah.
Well, originally, you're right. Originally, Little Red died, right? And then it went to, Big Red died, and then Little Red died, right? And then it eventually went to, they got Little Red. Do you remember the poor cast member that had to stand at a truck,
yeah,
with the animatronic Little Red with his trunk sticking out, and say every time you drove by, he would say, "Little Red is okay." And it was that's that guy's job for hours and hours and hours, was "Little Red is okay." And what's really funny is when it first opened, that cast member had a rifle that would stand there with a rifle in his hand. Mm-hmm. And I guess it quickly, Disney lawyers and legal got on that and were like, "Wait a minute, we're sending the wrong message. This cast member has a name tag on and he's holding a rifle in his hand. He probably should change that." But it's lost a little bit of the story along the way, but the animal experience is still just, you know, second to none. It's if you want to see animals up close, it's the best place you're going to do it.
Yep, I agree. I think Kilimanjaro Safaris is a must-see. And like we said, it's one where you get a different experience every time. So
yeah,
if the lions aren't active today on your next trip, they might be. So it's not a one and done.
No, you're right. Wait, Herb, I'm sorry. I have one more story for you and then I'll be done.
All right.
I had a college program friend, actually, who she's still a really good friend of mine to this day. She married my best friend since kindergarten. They're two of my best friends in the world. But and I hope he's listening to this and his wife is listening to this, because we were on safari one time and when we were on a college program, she was a driver. And we were passengers, a giraffe in the road. And there's not a whole lot you can do as a safari driver. You can't, you know, drive toward them because who knows, they're animals, what they're going to do. So she beeped her horn a couple of times, and it got to the point where she was looking behind her, and there were other safari vehicles that were kind of waiting to go on the road that we were on. So she beeped a couple more times. The giraffe kind of just stood there. So she inched ever so slightly toward the giraffe and spooked the giraffe so badly that it freaked and jumped and slammed into the front of the safari vehicle.
Oh, no.
And there's some pretty big, heavy animals. So it hit the front of the safari vehicle and then took off. She didn't hit it, just so we were clear. It ran into the vehicle, and it took off. And people on that attraction, people in the vehicle were screaming and yelling, and you hit a giraffe, you. And she did not, just for the record, she didn't. And I hope she's listening to this, because my friend has it on tape, and we still talk about it to this day, because she did everything right, and the darn thing, the poor giraffe ran into the car, and it was horrifying, and still we make fun of her to this day for that.
It probably left a dent or two, too, didn't it?
I'm sure it did. I mean, they're not little animals, but yeah, so to this day, I still make fun of her for running over the giraffe.
Like, that's coming out of your paycheck.
Yeah. How many people can you make fun of for hitting a giraffe with a car? Not many, I don't think.
Oh, man. Good story. All right. This was a fun list. Top 6 Animal Kingdom animal viewing spots. Number 1, Discovery Island Trails. Number 2, Affection Section. Number 3, the Maharaja Jungle Trek. Number 4, Conservation Station. Number 5, the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail. And number 6, Kilimanjaro Safaris. So, Phil, if people are interested in what you were up to, how can they find more about that?
Thanks. So they can come by my website, which is eartothertravel.com, or they can look me up on Facebook. That's facebook.com/eartothertravelagency. And on my website, I have, you know, all my contact info. I even have my cell phone number, my email address, my work number, and everything. So, you know, if you're looking for help, just come on by.
So, Phil, I enjoy the podcast that you have and the website that you've got. And I know you do a great job in helping people plan their Disney vacations, no cost for your services. And for folks who need a lot of help, I know that you can do that. And for folks who just want a little bit of help and maybe don't want to sit so much time on their computer or on the phone, I know that you help folks out like that as well. So thanks for all that you do for the Disney community. And thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Urban. Thank you for helping me get my podcast off the ground as well. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. You have some very nice guests on that podcast, I might add.
Yeah, that's true. We have a couple of, a couple of people sound very familiar on that podcast.
It's a small world after all.
That's true. Bamba yetu yulie mbenguni.
Today we head out to the songs of Kilimanjaro Safari, and while we have made it through the list of the top 6 Animal Kingdom animal viewing spots, our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. Do you have something you'd like to add to the list? You can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/75. It's a page that works great on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop. Leave your comment and check out what other people are saying as well. I'd also like to thank everyone who's been in touch and invite you to get in touch with me too. You can do that by sending me an email at info@worldofwalt.com. If you liked today's podcast, I would love it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who like Disney in the forum and the comments section. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is extremely cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just just a dream away.